Blog Talk Radio.
This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wrestling Debate Show. Actually, the debate on wrestling. I can never get that right. Right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. We are slated to go about 60 minutes tonight, maybe 90 minutes. But I know some debaters, they can't stay the whole show. So we may just go 60 minutes tonight. There's a lot of interesting topics to get into tonight. I won't be getting into them, but the debaters, the experts, they will be getting to the topics tonight. We're supposed to have a fatal four-way kind of a edition of the debate on wrestling tonight. So I'll bring on the debaters relatively shortly once I see all four debaters up. We're still waiting on Dominic to call in, and we're still waiting on Mr. Black from the Jobber's Tears podcast to tap into the show. But like I said, we got another special show today. I won't waste any time since we have 60 minutes. From the Jordan Garber Now podcast, I'm going to bring on Mr. Garber. What's up? What's up, Jordan?
What is going on? It's none other than Jordan Garber Now. Jordan Garber Now on 313, the debate on wrestling. It's great to be here. And, of course, as always, I am always ready to talk professional wrestling, brother.
Oh, absolutely. We're always happy to have you all, man. You like family now. So thanks for joining us again.
Hey, you know what? It's great to be a part of anybody that shares one thing in common with Jordan Garber, and that's none other than the love of professional wrestling. I'm actually live right now as well on Facebook on this show. I'm also live on Twitter. So we're going to have new listeners coming in from my Facebook and Twitter stream on your show. So I look forward to doing this. I also look forward to doing like the kind of simulcast where you can do two broadcasts at once. Even if I'm on a different show, it's still being showcased. And obviously you're showcasing it, but I get to spread the word as well. And that's what wrestling's all about.
We appreciate that. The more people that know about this show, the better. So we appreciate you taking initiative and doing it, man.
All right, let's move on, brother.
Absolutely. Moving right along from Detroit, Michigan, Mr. Rated R. We're going to bring on the Southwest Day-Day Cruise. He's the host of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. He's also the host of the Death Match Podcast, which is on YouTube. So we're going to bring on my brother Southwest onto the show. What's up, Southwest?
What's going on, everybody? The Southwest Texas is in the house, and he's ready to talk pro wrestling and tell you the truth. If you ain't heard it from the Southwest Texas, you ain't heard nothing yet. And, man, let's go. Let's just handle the business. Long story short,
Hey, you seem like you already coming out blazing, brother. So we gonna get into it. Like I said, we're supposed to have like a fatal four way edition, but the two other gentlemen haven't tapped in quite yet. So we're gonna move right along. Okay. Right out the gate, I need to ask you guys this: did WWE truly did they bury Bray Wyatt with him losing to Goldberg this past Thursday at the Super Showdown? Did they bury the Fiend Bray Wyatt? And I'm gonna start with you, Southwest.
They completely buried, man. They completely buried the Fiend Bray Wyatt, man, because they, like I said, I've said this a long time ago. They built him up for almost a whole year, made him seem like a monster, seemed like almost a mixture between Kane and the Undertaker together, where he's unstoppable. Where in Hell in a Cell versus Seth Rollins, he took about what 15 curb stomps and ladders and everything. And then you got a semi-retired Hall of Famer in Goldberg, 50-some years old, which supposed to be – he's supposed to be at home doing his 401K, doing the family thing in the van. And they just completely buried Bray Wyatt and let him go against John Cena. That's not a bad opponent for him to beat to keep him going. But at the same time, you messed him up with his championship run. It wasn't too long.
Hey, I can't say that you're wrong about everything you just said, man. I really can't. Hey, Jordan, how do you feel about this?
Jump in on this. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is fucked. I'm going to say one thing right now. Now, the whole Bray Wyatt thing, Charlie, thanks for tuning in. The whole Bray Wyatt thing and the Goldberg rivalry, like, at least make it last longer. You know, I know that we're approaching WrestleMania, but what is the timing for this? What's the reasoning? Now there's a reason behind everything, and WWE obviously knows best. But to put the belt on Goldberg with all that momentum running, they have to have something big for Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, or they are burying him. Just wait till WrestleMania and we'll see. But from what I saw at Super Showdown, that's ridiculous. We don't need Goldberg as champion again. It's not 1996. Like, it's great to see Goldberg wrestle. Like, maybe put him in, like, a singles match or something. Don't make him the universal champion with no hype behind it. That's what I don't like about wrestling, and that's kind of why fans get fed up, too, is because there's no story behind some of this shit. They just do it because they want to get the hype, and it's cheap hype. And you know what? It's not going to last forever. What's going to happen 20 years from now? Goldberg's going to come back, win the fucking belt again? No, it's dumb. He's a great wrestler. He's a legend. He deserves respect. But don't put a belt on him when a guy is having so much momentum. So in my opinion, as of right now, absolutely, the WWE is trying to bury Bray Wyatt. Why? What else of a conclusion is there? You don't put a belt on a 60-year-old man, let alone the main title. Fucking
okay.
Stupid.
What do you say to those people?
That's my opinion.
What do you say to those people that says it's best for business to have Goldberg as champion going into WrestleMania against
There's
Roman Reigns.
There's no business behind it. There's no business behind that. It's retardation. Sorry, I can't use that word. We're in 2020. It's not that word. It's just fucked up. There's just no way of, like, the guy is 50, in his 50s. Like, you got to make wrestling believable. And that is why a lot of people of today's product will go out there and say, oh, wrestling's fake. Wrestling's this. Wrestling's that. Because they see shit like this. And it's like Infinity Superman, believable shit. No. Bray Wyatt another at least 2 months. Get him get through WrestleMania with the title. Then put it on Goldberg on a shitty pay-per-view. Why do you have to do this before WrestleMania? It's fucked up. I don't understand.
Wow. Y'all boys not playing tonight, man.
Not playing tonight.
Yeah, we also have the.
We never play this way.
Yeah, we have the other two debaters tapping in right now. We're gonna bring on the co-host of Wrestle Talk and the D. Dominic is in the house. What up, Dom?
What up, Daddy's home? What's going on?
What's going on?
Not much.
Nothing much.
So we're
diving into the Goldberg and Fiend conversation.
Situation, yeah. Like, no disrespect. I forgot whoever that was talking. Yeah, I'm not trying to be against, but it's back goes to the fact that what me and you talked about, Martez. I don't know. They have to break out this old mold. Like you said, it's 2020. It's the fan and it's Vince. Certain fans that's used to the product. It's like when we the champion. It's the stereotypical championship. They want big, beefy, strong, tall, big guys to be the champion. I mean, it's yeah. I know it's the protocol, but you can't always have that at times. And they messed up. Yeah, you know, putting the Fiend as champion. You know, you don't need a gimmick character as a champion. Yeah, they just really messed up. They really did. I don't know. They got to somebody got to 2020 this year take grab control, grab sensitive control of WWE if it's Triple H or Shane, and kind of keep going in a path of righteous and not backwards. So yeah.
All right. I agree with that. Now, I want to bring on the final debater of the night, and you guys are welcome to cut each other off if you agree or disagree. We want to bring on Mr. Black. He's on our show a couple months ago, or maybe a month ago, from the Jobber Chicks podcast. They're definitely not strangers to this platform. So, Mr. Black, welcome to the debate on wrestling, brother.
How's it going,
hey,
Mr.
What's
Black?
Up, how you guys doing today? I'm doing all right.
Good.
What's going
good,
on?
Good.
I'm good.
Yeah. We're talking about Goldberg and Bray Wyatt right now, Mr. Black. And the question is this: did WWE bury Bray Wyatt with him by him losing to Goldberg at the Super Showdown? In
yes.
your opinion?
Definitely not. I'll explain to you why. When WrestleMania sells out very fast, you get a show that gears towards the hardcore fan. Last year, WrestleMania sold out very quickly. You got Seth Rollins and Kofi Kingston. It gave back to the fans. Like, you know what? Y'all sold out this arena. I give y'all something back. You have to get Vince's attention not really on the WWE. It's really to the XFL. And on top of that, he fired two big top names that brought him to this position as far as money-wise. So now you got these stock investors looking at Vince like, what's going on with your company? Not only that, WrestleMania got sold and selling out. People don't realize when WrestleMania is in a certain town, it brings revenue around it. And no shows around WrestleMania time during that whole arena hasn't been selling out because WrestleMania is selling out. So you may look at it as this way. The Fiend got buried. Nobody truly get buried in WWE. Now, look at somebody. If you look at Drew McIntyre a year ago, oh, what's doing with Drew, blah, 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 blah. But the one thing I know is that Vince does when he likes you, he's not ready to use you. He keeps you around somehow, some way. So now, let's go back to even someone like Ricochet getting buried. Reason why that you think like Ricochet make it buried, Vince is telling him something like, you're lacking something that I don't like. You got to improve on it. Because if you watch the Big Show podcast when he talks about him and Stone Cold, and you notice he likes him so much, and yet he's not listening, and it's sending back to OVW. And what happened? He improved on his skills, and Big Show has been used many times to get people over. So the world, the whole word burial is being used way too much in the internet community, and not realizing that this is not a real sport. This is entertainment. So let me keep your guys entertained by doing certain stuff. It's always not looking at the media picture, look at the bigger picture. Now, just like Wyatt said, he told a story, and y'all didn't realize this. After Super Showdown, he lost, he stood up to Goldberg, looked at him, and went away. Because, like he said, my beef is not with you. I had to get this off for a bigger picture to go out there sooner. And who's the biggest guy to go after, the biggest crossover superstar in the last decade? John Cena. Now, casual fans may go, John Cena lost to the Fiend? Let me check this guy out to see what he's about. It's all about carrying the fans on to the next day, to the next show, to next year, and bringing back casual fans. So there's still casual fans who know Cena, but now they're bringing back, oh, Cena? Who this guy Bray Wyatt? You don't need research on him. Now that brings people to the network. It's all about win-win. stop looking at WWE, especially WWE. WWE is for everybody. They try to get please everybody, but sometimes you just can't do it. And you got to admit, they're all talking about this. So WWE did their job.
So you're looking at it from a business aspect, not as a diehard fan.
You can't. WWE is not for the diehards. Not anymore. WWE, once it went public, you have to realize they had to take less risk.
Go ahead, Jordan. Jordan wants to follow up on what you're saying. Go ahead, Jordan.
I can respect that, but I don't understand like just the whole timing of everything. But you know, everything does happen for a reason. I just don't see why they're putting the world title on a 56-year-old man right now.
Who's the world champion for
Little
Honor?
Anyways, the Bray Wyatt should have went to WrestleMania to defend that title against Roman Reigns. The only reason why Vince did it was because the Fiend was easier pill for the fans to swallow for Roman Reigns to beat Goldberg for the championship instead of Bray Wyatt. I'm pretty sure that they're going to let Bray Wyatt win it again, probably against Roman Reigns down the road, maybe at SummerSlam. But at the same time, you know, it shouldn't have went that way at all.
So let me ask you a question. What way it should have went?
Like I said, Bray Wyatt should have kept the title. They should have at least let this match happen, but let the Fiend bury Goldberg. They should have let him bury Goldberg just like he's been burying everybody the whole year, almost whole year that he's been out of the scene, and let him go to WrestleMania. And it could have been even turned out to be a triple threat also. John Cena, Roman Reigns, and the Fiend. Could have turned
that
out that way.
That might be okay. I would be okay with that. I'd be okay with that.
I mean, in a sense, I get it, yeah, but you could tell another story right after. So why waste two stories in one WrestleMania? And it got a pretty good main event. Randy Orton versus Edge, come on, that's money right there. Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre, money. So you don't want to do too much because we all and Kofi won last year. It literally sucked the whole excitement. Now, Beck Lynch went on, wasn't as good because the crowd wasn't as excited. Like, it's business. Pace yourself. Less is more.
You said, Dominic, did you want to chime back in?
Oh, yeah, I'm back. I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
Okay. Switch subject because this one's getting boring.
Yeah, first. There is.
All right, let's move along to topic and question number two. Forbes magazine came out with an article saying that WWE celebrates Black History Month by having African American pro wrestlers go 0-6 at the Super Showdown. So my question is this: is this a big deal that all the Black wrestlers went 0-6 at the Super Showdown, or is this not that important? And I'll start with you, Dominic.
Really? I'm just joking. I mean, yeah, it's a 50-50. Yeah, it's Black History Month, and you know, it's like you should have. They should at least, you know, for us, you know, well, I mean, prime time, no, I mean, it's over now. They won it last Monday, the tag team titles.
Prime
team. Yeah, you should at least, Street Profits. It's Black History Month. It's like, I don't know why. At times, I feel like WWE, you know, they get to hype the Black superstars, so I guess they won't get them hyped up, get them riled up. so I guess they want to be considered to get organizations off their back. I don't know, but you know they should at least have one or two, at least one at Super Showdown. Yeah, it does look embarrassing how the way at times, you know, for us like the black superstars, certain ones, the image or gimmick they gotta have to be over. You know, I feel like if the man's not dancing or rapping, they're not irrelevant. Or if a female's not, you know, a female's not like the stereotype loud mouth or as well a dancer or got, you know, swing our body around, then it's not appealing somehow. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's getting better. We're stepping it up. There's more superstars is coming out and just keep fighting through it and trying to break the barrier. So,
All right, let's. What are your thoughts on this, Mr. Black? Do you think this was a big deal or not that important?
It's a big deal, and once again, it's probably not as like very well known because when you look at last time it was in Brooklyn, it was a Monday. You notice that it was more people who did not look like me, a lot of white people. You see more black people come along, yeah, but it's still a white-dominated industry. So we got to keep on making noises and keep on making big deal because now WWE might look at it next year like, we got to do better because we don't need this kind of press on us, especially living in a world where it's kind of like racial tension all over the place. So the problem is there's not enough of us backstage. There's not. And every time there is someone who looks like us, there's somebody that who's not of the culture. Meaning culture, because there's a different kind of culture within the black community. There's one obviously general culture of black, but then there's the black church culture. There's the hip-hop culture, et cetera, et cetera. You need somebody that who understands all of black culture and who is of the culture. Not some white guy that, oh, yeah, I can rap, I know this. No. You need somebody who understands. We've been the mid-card for too long. I got to make sure I take this guy to the top as a black man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that, Southwest? What's your honest thought?
Well, I mean, to be honest, man, I'm with you guys on this. You know what I'm saying? I believe WWE let that slip. You know what I'm saying? It's a very big deal because, you know what I'm saying, every race, you know, should be able to celebrate their month or whatever culture, you know, you guys, you know, whatever have, you know what I'm saying? And WWE let that slip a lot this year. And, you know, they actually celebrated a lot, you know, over the years, but they let it slip, you know what I'm saying? Because you got to go back to days where there's, you know, three main stars that were African-American that won three world heavyweight titles. You know what I'm saying? You got the first African-American, Ron Simmons, in the WCW world heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Henry was the first ever world heavyweight champion, African-American. And then you got Kofi Kingston, WWE world heavyweight champion. But, you know, they let it slip, you know, a whole lot. And I believe it's wrong on WWE's part.
Sorry about that, guys.
They
just got back into the queue here.
All right, Jordan. The ball is in your hand. How do you feel about this situation? Do you think WWE was wrong for allowing all the black wrestlers to go 0-6, or do you think it's not a big deal? Honestly.
You know what? When it comes to WWE celebrating Black History Month by having African Americans go 0-6. At Super Showdown 2020, you know what? I think you can mix in a little bit of a big deal and not important at the same time. 0-6 just doesn't happen for a reason. However, literally, you know, it doesn't happen for a reason. There's a reasoning for that. So it kind of makes you wonder why. I don't know. I can't really say if it's a big deal because maybe they didn't put it in that context. But that's just something that just doesn't happen. That's a high odds of probability to see something happen. So I think it is a little bit of a big deal. It should be looked at, but it shouldn't be the end of the world since there's no proof behind it, but I just think that's a little unacceptable in my opinion.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it seems like everybody's on the same page with this. And then just to let you guys know, we never did four debaters on this show, so if things don't seem like they're going well, I apologize, but I figured we can have like a fatal four-way tonight and see how it goes. I'll move on to the next question, and I want to start with you, Mr. Black. And the question is this. I don't know if you had a chance to view AEW Revolution, but as soon as that match was over with the Young Bucks against Hangman, Adam Page, and Kenny Omega, people were saying that this was the match of the year. So do you agree that this was the match of the year? Young Bucks versus Hangman and Omega.
No, yeah, just started. just started. Well, so I don't believe that. Like, so far, this is the best
so
match of the year so far. Yes, of course, but can it be match of the year? No, because it's whole. They do what they do best, and they basically establish their tag team division with four great competitors. So this is why it's somewhat exciting. Like, dang, they shut up every critic by telling everything they was. Oh, they don't do this. They don't have any storytelling. They don't sell it. Blah 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 blah. But they did everything in that tag team match. But overall, I will not take it away. Is it up there to be match of the year, possibly by the end of the year? Yeah. I just hope that these are the fast. How society is intimate, you won't forget about it. Because next WrestleMania, you never know. You never know. It could be John Cena versus the Wild. Versus the Fiend. That could be, oh, this is the match of the year. So just wait before we call it totally the match of the year. Just wait.
Absolutely. And we're definitely talking about as of right now, is this the best match of the year. So, Southwest, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think this... So far, this is the best match of the year.
It's up there. I would believe so. It's up there, but like he was saying, there's still a whole long part of the year to go. So I wouldn't say it because there could be a match that top it in the same company or even somewhere else in New Japan. There could be a match that could top that. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of wrestling going on right now that could top that. And I just believe that there's too much going on right now in order for it to be match of the year. Like you said, maybe at the end of the year, but maybe, you know what I'm saying, maybe right now, but not at the end of the year. So I believe that is true.
All right. And Dominic, what you got on this?
I'm going to say no on many different levels because, it's just a lot of matches go no because it seemed like it's good. It was a good match, but it's just – it's what I predict at AEW, like the whole fast pace, speed, good storytelling, but, OMG moves, OMG moves, Bam Fatimi moves, that's the style of AEW. And I mean, it looked like the same old every time I watch a match. It's the same old to me. But it's extremely too early to say match of the year. It was decent, but I still want to see more. Feed me more AEW before I start yelling out match of the year candidates.
Okay. I like that.
Jordan, what are your thoughts, sir?
In terms of the Hangman Page and Omega tag team being like one of the best of the year?
Yeah, so far.
Not so far. Right now, there's a lot of other New Japan Pro Wrestling matches that I'd put before that one. However, it's a very, very good match. A lot of great chemistry and a story really was pulled. However, I don't think that's ready to be the match of the year yet. I think there's a lot left to be had. And there's a lot of great matches in New Japan so far, too. So it's not the best match of the year, but it's one of the top 10.
Okay. Yeah. Any final thoughts on this before we move on to the next topic?
I think I should be good.
All right, John Moxley, I don't know if that's y'all boy, I don't know if or not, But John Moxley has become the new AEW World Heavyweight Champion of the world. So what are your thoughts on him becoming the new champion? Also, is this one of the best moves by a free agent in recent memory for John Moxley to join AEW at this time in his career? And Southwest, we'll start that off with you.
Okay, well, John Moxley is one of my favorites because I followed him from his days in CZW when he was a deathmatch wrestler. So I believe that this is one of the best moves that AEW could have did because he's young, he's hungry, and, you know, he's got a lot. He ain't got much to prove because, I mean, this time last year he was getting fucking put on his ass in WWE. He was getting embarrassed, and him going to AEW gave him a whole refresh on everything. So I believe that this is the best thing that as a free agent that he could have did, and going to AEW instead of anywhere else, because he popped up in New Japan, won the U.S. title, and he's flourishing when he left WWE. He just flourished everywhere and any independent in New Japan, and now AEW, he's the World Heavyweight Champion, and I believe that that's the best thing that they could have did, because he's the best. He brings an eye to AEW. He brings a lot of eyes to AEW. Chris Jericho, they thought that him being the first inaugural AEW champion would have brought a lot of eyes because he's a former WWE superstar and he's been in every major promotion, blah, blah, blah. But the real eye was all the eyes were coming from John Moxley and not Chris Jericho and maybe not anybody else in AEW, period.
Dominic?
Yeah, I mean, shoot. I mean, it's the John Moxley stock is rising. I mean, if you don't know the John Moxley character or gimmick, I mean, that's bravo, salute to him for winning. The ceiling is up. The ceiling is up for him. So, he's about to be, you know, he's about to, he can help by him being a champion. Especially a young champion, he can put AEW on the map and he can carry it. He has a few championships with WWE, but it was okay. But like Southwest said, they started embarrassing them and they wasn't giving them more opportunities that he could have potential. He could have had, so hopefully AEW, he can reach that potential and achieve more. And, you know, with them being the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. Mr. Black, you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I think John Moxley winning the championship was one of the greatest ideas they could have, because not only that, it's like a big advertisement to other stars who may be unhappy with their company. Because compared to Dean Ambrose and John Moxley, two different people, two different animals, two different swagger, he just can't even recognize him no more. That's because he went to somewhere that really are utilizing his talent, not just as an entertainer, but as a wrestler. So some people might say, you WWE guys went over just like WCW and TNA. I see it as that's how you bring more. That's how you bring eyes to your company at first. Hi, how can I get introduced to you? Someone familiar. But not only that, he's also putting over the talent. So him versus Darby Allin, you'll see, wait, this guy is somewhat similar than John Moxley, but yet he's different. Let me do research on this guy, Darby Allin. Wait a minute. John Moxley is killing it. Let me see what else he is into. Oh, New Japan? Now you get a fan of New Japan. You get a fan of the part of New Japan because of John Moxley. Great move, and I love to see who's pushing on the feud with.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Jordan, how you feel about this?
The Matt Hardy situation?
No, the John Moxley.
Damn. Dude, that's
woo. You okay, Jordan?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm still there. Are you talking about the John Moxley? Oh, winning the title, winning the world title.
Delete.
Don't forget that. Yeah, that was a great match. I had the chance to watch it.
It was a great match. The guy deserves to have the strap around him. He's worked so hard, and he's always been buried everywhere else, so it's actually finally good to just see this guy get a shot and get a good opportunity and have him with the belt. Should be a good reign. I'm excited to see how long it lasts and the things he can do with it.
So you think he was buried in WWE?
He wasn't really buried in WWE. They just didn't know what to do with John Moxley because he was a talent that they didn't know what to do with. Because Dean Ambrose was a watered down John Moxley because they tried to make him a lunatic and whatever because they knew where his background was, which, like I said, was back in CZW as a deathmatch wrestler. They didn't know what to do because they didn't have a hardcore division. Now, I guarantee you, if WWE would have had, you know, a hardcore division or at least, you know what I'm saying, a hardcore title, not the 24 watered down title, you know what I mean? They could have made a hardcore division built around Dean Ambrose. They should have made him John Moxley. He's a Grand Slam champion in WWE. You can't knock him for his career in WWE, but AEW is giving him a whole lot of freedom with this John Moxley because John Moxley goes back to a long time. He's fought deathmatch wrestlers like Nick Gage. Look up Nick Gage, guys. Look up these deathmatch wrestling, the CZW from John Moxley. He bled to go where he's at now. He took out like a whole lot of blood. He's bled a whole lot of blood, man. He took out gallons of blood from doing these matches, man. He's great, man. Yeah.
Absolutely. Any more final thoughts?
Like live on platform.
All right. Okay, Jordan, if you're still with us, man, we're gonna talk about Matt Hardy right now. Okay.
The whole Matt Hardy situation here. Good for him. I want to see him beat big one more time. I think there's enough for one big run out of him. To see him in AEW is something that would be really good because he'd really get that push that he's looking for. In WWE, things are really good at the start, but things right away they wouldn't plan. Give him the AEW, give him some creative freedom, and you can see new things happen that haven't been done before. That's what I think about it.
I would beg to differ on that because, I mean, in WWE, I mean, let him leave WWE, let him be a free agent for a while because right now they're going to let John Moxley run with the title. I don't think – I mean, he could be the exalted one. Let it go for a few more, you know, maybe a month or two. Then let him debut him. Let him win some matches, you know what I'm saying, going down the road a few months. After that, let him beat John Moxley for the title. I feel like that.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that because I'm learning this a long time ago. Not everybody needs to win a title. Sometimes a person just being there, being a great storyline, tell up better because like that means that he's just bigger than the title as right now. He's not really bigger than the title, but
no,
him just really setting the whole universe up.
The whole situation is you got to look. They chose Chris Jericho. You know what I'm saying? Matt Hardy's a great talent, and I believe that Matt Hardy. Look, they're gonna AEW is gonna take the most that they can out of the broken Matt Hardy gimmick and the broke because Matt Hardy could still bring this broken gimmick going on. He could win a world title. He did it in TNA. He's done it in TNA. And the whole thing is Matt Hardy can get one good ass run out of him. He could get one more good ass run, and he's gonna set off in the sunset, knowing that he's won a so-called major title in a so-called major promotion. So I believe that it's going to happen. It's going to happen in time, in a few months, maybe a half a year going into next year, and it's going to happen. It don't knock Matt Hardy because they're going to get the most out of the money and out of everything out of Matt Hardy. And Matt Hardy's going to give
100%. I'm not saying that Matt Hardy's a bad hand. I'm not saying Matt Hardy's going to draw money, but he could draw money without the title. TNA did it.
Yeah, TNA did it.
Real interesting.
But you got to look at it. He's going to wind it. That's going to probably be one of his demands for him to go to AEW to win that world title. Because if you're not – look, listen, and this goes back a long time ago. If you're not in the business to win the world heavyweight title, sit your ass at home or get you a day job. Period. Don't go in second hand. If you're going to second hand yourself and try to win a secondary title and not go for – or a tag team title and not go for that world's title. If you're not going for that world's title, stay at home, get a job, or be a housewife.
Oh!
I'm just saying. He don't need a title to be relevant.
Stop it right there, man. If you ain't in it for the world title, you ain't in it to be the man. And to be the man, you got to have that title. And if you ain't the man, then go, hey, pull an Nyla Rose, cut your dick off, and go win that AEW women's title then.
Oh, hey.
Delete.
My bad. But damn.
It's all good.
Delete.
It's whatever.
Delete.
Mr. Black, do you have anything else to say on that?
I mean, again, it's not to win his talent. I just feel at this point, he don't need the title because he's good. Him being over there, the amount of touch he's going to bring, the amount of match quality knowledge he'll bring to the younger people, how to do actual tag teaming, how to do certain spots. Knowledge you know is golden. Dusty Rhodes didn't win the big title, but his name is still ringing throughout the whole industry. It's all about making a lasting impact. You can be champion, the greatest champion, but yet, what impact have you left? From what tree someone came out of you? If you cannot get back to business like that, you just being selfish.
Matt Hardy is you're way younger than Goldberg, so you got to look at it that way too. He's only in his he's in his 40s. He's not there yet. You know what I'm saying? He's not as old as Goldberg yet, so I believe he can have one more run, man. Like I said, Matt Hardy, you know, I've been watching Matt Hardy since he was in his 90s, in the 90s, 96, when he was facing Jeff Hardy was facing Razor Ramon. I was watching him back then.
I mean, I'm not, again, like, I think he's kind of missing the point. I'm not denying his ability to become world champion, to carry that strap. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that he don't need it because he's Matt Hardy. He created a whole universe without being world champion. Literally, we tune in to watch him and his brother destroy each other for no big strap. But he literally broke the internet twice. And WWE tried to imitate him with Bray Wyatt, too. I'm just saying, if you make an impact without winning a title, that means that you don't need a title to like, make an impact. Bigger picture, less is more. I didn't say that.
I can agree with you, too, but I'm just saying. I just believe it. I believe that that's what he's going to go to AEW for since he couldn't win the big one in WWE.
You know, I think Dominic wanted to jump in on this, too. Go ahead, Dom.
Delete. Yeah. Well, you know, it's confirmed. Matt Hardy is going to AEW in his little YouTube blog. I think the Young Bucks pulled up at his compound. Hey, Cruz, Mr. Black, y'all both got a point. Like, if Matt Hardy go over there, like, as a gimmick for the leader of the Dark Order? The Dark Order. Yeah, he really doesn't need, but once again, like I said earlier, if you're doing that gimmick just to help more, you know, put people over, you don't need a title. But if he's really going over there to show I'm still, you know, Matt Hardy, you know, the version 3.0/the, you know, delete or et cetera, okay, you know, to show, you know, I still got it, or you know, you Young Bucks or you Omegas, you know, y'all need to bow and kiss my foot. I'm the one who paid the wave of time, but I trying time bombs and twist the fate, et cetera. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, it's just, I would like to see, you know, for the first 3 months when he do go over there, the outcome, how will he react with the fans, the audience, and his outcome. To then say, okay, yeah, he probably needs to be the next champion, or either he needs to just help put over the young guys, or, you know, yeah, he needs to go for that last run, that final championship run that he didn't properly deserve to get. He didn't get at WWE his last time back. So I'm just going to really sit back and watch and observe.
Okay, I like that. Okay.
All right, moving right along. Topic number six. I'm a big fan of this documentary or series, whatever you want to call it, the Ruthless Aggression series. I don't know if you guys have been watching it, and I'll start with you, Mr. Black. If you have been watching it, like, how do you like it or not? What are your thoughts on
it? I love it because I've been preaching this forever. The Ruthless Aggression era is the most underrated era in WWE. It's putting a spotlight onto one of the greatest era that don't get enough credit. You know why? Everybody started watching wrestling during that time. A lot of so-called, I've been watching all my life. They went to college. They got bored because The Rock and Stone Cold wasn't there. But they lived out in a very good era.
Mm-hmm.
Tag team wrestling was booming. The mid-card was booming. The new match had introduced Elimination Chamber, Money in the Bank. The women, it was women. They was actually wrestling. Victoria versus Trish Stratus, main event of Raw. Like, come on, this is the era
that
don't get talked about.
Not Victoria.
Oh, sorry,
Lita.
Victoria
off.
Versus
yeah.
Trish. Yes, Victoria and Trish was in a hardcore match. Come on. Ever a black excellence? MVP, Shelton Benjamin, Mark Henry. These are the guys like what? It was just something just happened and didn't click all the way. But I'm saying that. That's the era. Yes?
I'm
in charge of history. What's up?
There's a lot of things that you got. I mean, you got right and you got wrong. I agree with you with the Elimination Chamber thing and all this other stuff. But the women wasn't really wrestling back in those days. You got to think about it. In 2002, they were doing bra and panty matches. Mark Henry was actually a part of the all the way back in the roster in 1996 when it was a new era, and all the way to the Ruthless Aggression era. I mean, you're right on that. You know, you got. I love that thing. I love the whole documentary because I watched from the beginning to the end. They got everything right completely. You know what I'm saying? But the whole thing is it kind of wasn't underrated because it is secondary to the Attitude Era. It's actually secondary, or it could be right up there, neck and neck with the Attitude Era because they both brought their different umps. You can't say it was really underrated because they gave it their light. You got to look at John Cena. John Cena is still around to this day, so you can't really say it was really underrated because if it was underrated, you wouldn't have stars like John Cena and Randy Orton, which are the two longest OVW wrestlers that went through the whole Ruthless Aggression era, and Randy Orton still going to this day.
I'm saying it's underrated as far as talked about. No one talks about it. Nobody references it. Whenever there's a certain match, nobody references it. They always talk about, the Attitude Era. But very few people can name matches during the Ruthless Aggression era. They always come at the tail end when John Cena became John Cena. But nobody talks about his rise. No one talks about him versus Eddie Guerrero for the U.S. title in that street fight. I mean, the Parkland Brawl, one of the first in WWE. No one talks about those matches. This is why it don't get brought up enough. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know what wrestling fans or people you've been talking to, but I mean Ruthless Aggression Era. I've been watching Ruthless Aggression Era since it started in 2002, and I mean a lot of my friends we've
but
been talking about.
But that's you're a hardcore fan.
You know, Eddie Guerrero versus
hardcore
was one of my favorite matches of all time because Eddie Guerrero was finally reached the mountaintop as WWE champion. You know that was one of the best matches I could say. In that era, was Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero. That whole rivalry went right there. And then you got the Brock Lesnar's, which he came out to be a monster in a whole 2 years, like they said in that documentary. His whole 2 years, he made a big impact.
Trust me, everything's 100% right, but you do forget there's two different kind of fans. There's us, the hardcore fans, and there's the casual fans. Like, just because your friends and our friends know about it. Doesn't mean all our friends knows about it. Like, I go to a lot of wrestling shows, and they always talk about, I stopped watching it during X amount of time because of X amount of reasons. I got back to wrestling because of, some people say CM Punk, some people say, you know, Rock, people came back slowly and truly over the years, and some people go back and watch it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're like, always remember this. Not everybody's a hardcore fan. Some people just watch it, Jackson once a week or however they choose to watch it. So you, like, separate the two. And when you separate the two, you're going to see, wow, that is true.
Mm. Wow. Well, Dominic and Jordan, feel free to jump in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Jordan. My bad.
Yeah, that's all good. I was able to watch some of the documentary, and like the panel said here, pretty much everyone hit the nail right on the head. Overall, it's a great series, and I think they put a lot of the points in there that matched. I watched it from beginning to finish, like our other person on the panel explained, and you know what? I thought it was really good. I think it's always important to have history relived, and especially the good days, and that's what it reminded me of is back when I was 14, 15 years old, watching Raw, SmackDown, and the Ruthless Aggression era, you'd never know what would happen next. And now it's not as much as it is now, or you'd expect a lot of anticipation. But the Ruthless Aggression era was nothing but anticipation, and for that, is one of my favorite parts of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ruthless Aggression is just a diamond in the gem era. I mean, like you said, like Mr. Black said, yeah, it was people that was like after, you know, like when Brock Lesnar came and demolished The Rock, you know, when he went Hollywood and Stone Cold, you know, had to retire, you know, a lot of people was like, oh, that was my reason I stopped. It was like this. It was people. It was a lot of people was coming. I didn't know the names and, you know, and those my true fans. But overall, it was just, I mean, it was people, you know, and of course, New Era, it was people stepping up their game that was coming, breaking down barriers, breaking, you know, setting a tone like Cena, like Eddie Guerrero, Batista, Rey Mysterio, Brock, Randy Orton.
Mick Foley.
You know.
Don't forget Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. I mean, well, Mick Foley was coming to an end. He was still kind of like the Goldberg right now, the Undertaker, like maybe one or twice a year. You know, well, I will do a match. You know, give me 20 million. If you know, and you know, Undertaker had reinvented himself. Huh?
Like he did when he fought Randy Orton at Backlash 03 for the Intercontinental title.
No title, and then it was, I think, like about two more other matches. Yeah, you know, and then you remember Undertaker had to take time off and reinvent a new image of the Undertaker, which I love. I love the American Badass era motorcycle Undertaker. I wish you could bring that back one more time. I mean, it was a lot of people, you know, that broke out, and we felt like that, like you mentioned, who was that? Mentioned Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin should have been had a championship title run or a contender. I felt like they I'm going to use the B word, buried them, overlooked them, you know. Females.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
That's what Shelton Benjamin, I realized. And I realized a very common pattern is Vince will like pushovers because Zack Ryder got over himself. Every time you interview, he always say, I don't know what happened. A lot of people who should have got pushed never spoke up for themselves. They never went to Vince and said, Vince, come on, give me a run. This is the New Day podcast. They say, only reason why it worked, because he did it his way, he kept on telling, let's do it our way. And eventually, that you see Vince, your way didn't work. Because Vince like, I don't see why it works. Let's do it my way. Vince like people that who she say, yo, I'm going to do what I have to do to get over. He loves that. That's what he means by grabbing the brass knuckles. Not only, he knows all his performers can perform in the ring, but what about backstage? Like, how many times told you to do this, that, this, and you're not doing this? Until you get it, you're not going to get over. Is it wrong? Yes and no. But at the end of the day, he does business so well, and he got the best out of people. From the Big Show, he got the best out of CM Punk. Whatever he might say about them, certain people he couldn't reach, but people he did reach, it worked. Drew McIntyre, the chosen one years ago. Now he fulfilled that prophecy.
I hear where you're coming from, and I'm going to just give me one more minute with Air to Air, and then we can go to the next subject. Then I think who's that talking about, the female? I think the female was starting, you know, Trisha Leader. I mean, you had Molly Holly. You still had, like, Ivory. You had Jacqueline, which those was nothing.
Not
was, you know, was, huh?
2002, you were getting bra and panties matches.
In 2002, I was playing WWE SmackDown Shut Your Mouth, one of the greatest video games in wrestling of all time.
You good, Jordan? Jordan, you good, man?
You guys just brought up 2002, and right away I had to bring that out there.
It was pretty good. I mean, it was. I won't say greatest. It was good, Jordan. That's another debate and another topic for another day, Jordan.
All right, yeah, maybe next week, but I will say it is the best game in existence of wrestling. Except for
Fire. Oh, my goodness. Jeez Louise.
No Mercy was better than that.
I mean, Dave Reckley was better than that. Dave Reckley is another hidden gem.
I differ with that one. Hell no.
Dave Reckon, terrible.
Right. Out of my God. If you like one, you love two. Dave Reckon is a hidden gem. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Oh, man. Trust me.
No.
We visited.
Oh, my God.
I doubt that.
Here comes the pain. Smack at your mouth.
Right. There's way more better games than that.
Maybe Fire Pro Wrestling,
man.
That's it.
WrestleMania 2000 was better than Day of Reckoning.
Oh, that was terrible. WrestleMania 2000, remember that? Holy crap.
Even Raw off an Xbox was better than that.
Yes, it was.
I feel like how some of the video games, some of these wrestling video game developers, they'll just block acid in there, and then they'll just make these games high on acid, and then they have it. WrestleMania 2000.
Man,
I don't know about y'all, but Dan Reckoning, if you look up anybody who was playing during the games ever, they would say Dan Reckoning is one hell of a game, one and two.
Terrible game.
I played both. They were boring. Even the Raw versus SmackDown, the first one was better than that.
I don't know about that. Don't let the masses fool you about these games, man. Don't let the masses, man. I'm telling you.
Nah. I've been watching and doing wrestling for my whole life, man. Ain't nobody schooling me.
All right, guys. I'm liking this show tonight. Maybe we can do another one next week. But next question is this. We all know that Jeff Hardy has faced issues with the law because of his addiction with alcohol and things of that nature. So my question is this. I got two questions. Do you look at Jeff Hardy differently now because of his addictions with alcohol? And my second question is this. Why are there so many addictions in the wrestling industry? And
The reason why there's so much addiction in the wrestling industry, is because the whole bump thing, you're on the road almost 300 days a year, and you're wrestling, and you're taking bumps. People say these bumps are fake, but they're not fake, and then you got a lot of stress. You're leaving your family at home. You're leaving your kids at home, missing them grow up. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stress in the wrestling business, and then you got to look at the things in your personal life besides your job. You know, there's a whole lot of addiction. And then Jeff Hardy is only human. We're all human. You know what I'm saying? You can't look at Jeff Hardy any different from the time you've seen him to totally finding out that he's a druggie and he's a drunk. You know what I'm saying? Or either both. You know what I'm saying? And you can't dog the man because he's only human. He's only human. He's
right.
Still Jeff Hardy in the ring, but he's human outside that ring, just like all of us.
Right.
I'm pretty sure some of us like to have a drink here and there or whatever, you know, the case is. But, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, like Kurt Angle, he, like in his documentary, he took Vicodins, you know, so long, so on and so forth. You know, that's why wrestlers take steroids because, you know, there's a lot of stress in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, from somebody who's in the industry, who's a referee in the industry, you know, unfortunately, you see a lot of that lying around with drugs, alcohol, addiction, things like that. Like you said, you hit it right on the head. Stress, being on the road all the time, depression from having bad matches and bad shows. I've had that myself, actually, in pro wrestling, where I'd just become depressed because I didn't want to get where I was supposed to be, more towards the referee standpoint. So there's many factors that come into play for everybody's story behind that. But you shouldn't judge Jeff Hardy for what he did, especially for the contributions he's provided on screen. Everyone's human, and everyone deals with their own problems off the screen. And Jeff Hardy's just another one of those guys that kind of, you know, struggle a little bit with that. But he had a very tough job, and he was on the road 300 days a year. So not everybody can do that for a long time. But for Jeff Hardy, wrestling for a long time like he's had and overcoming these addictions, it tells them makes him a really strong person. I got to give him a lot of respect for that. He's actually one of my favorite wrestlers, too. So to see Jeff Hardy overcome adversities like that inspires me to do that and inspires others to do that.
And if people are looking at Jeff Hardy now actually differently, I forgot to throw this in. Look at his match at Victory Road 2011 versus Sting for that world title. That match was worse than AJ Styles' match versus The Undertaker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's only human.
Yep.
I mean,
just saying.
I mean, yeah, it was horrible, Cruz, but, I mean, AJ Styles was sober as a gopher, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it went as quick as that. It was terrible. I'm not
terrible,
saying about AJ Styles being, you know what I'm saying? It's just terrible it went that quick.
Oh, yeah, I hear what you're coming from. You can't judge nobody. You can't judge no addict, man. When somebody, especially when they say, hey, I have a problem, that's the number one best thing of recovery. When they can admit, I have a problem, I need help, and I'm trying, you know, just applaud that person and just be the best you can to, you know, support them or whatever they need. The Jeff Hardy situation is nothing new. You guys all said we can name so many superstars that probably, you know, that deal with alcohol and drug addiction, that have a lot of them that kept them from being top tier superstars, championship, IC tag team, Jake the Snake, Nikolai Volkov,
Marty Jannetty.
Marty Jannetty, yeah. Shawn Michaels at a point was getting out of the control. You know, your name is Scott Hall. You know, the entire roster at ECW.
Even women.
No, I'm just playing. Women, Sonny, you know, Sonny had a problem. You know?
Yeah, she did. A big one.
Big one, yeah. So, you know, to the younger audience, that's learning the business and about that, yeah, they're probably, you know, in shock and, you know, just, you know, not used to certain superstars coming out like this. But, yeah, I mean, for us who've been watching it, it's not new.
Okay.
Did you
have
to chime in?
None. Just hopefully he just stays clean, and that's it. He stays clean because Jeff Hardy is always a great hand, no matter what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those rare talent. He's just a rare talent like Jeff Hardy, you know. And he's my definition of a true sports entertainer. Like, he is the definition of it. Like, we often entertain him in video games. We often do that even in our real life and, you know, doing a swanton to a pool. We think about Jeff Hardy. So hopefully he stays clean and he has good people around him and get a nice run. Whatever happened, happens. Wish him the best. Yeah.
Awesome.
And one quick note, he said he got much in the tank to go. It's still certain people he said he would like to challenge, like the John Cena, the Roman Reigns. He still feel like he got so much. So
let's see.
Alright, quick program. We got about 11 minutes to go. Coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time is Talking with Tisha from the D. So those of you that are listening to this show, feel free to stick around and listen to that show at 8 o'clock tonight right here on this platform. About 11 minutes to go, like I said, I want to fly through these next five questions if we can. I want to take us back to SummerSlam 2002, The Rock versus Brock Lesnar. And I just want to know, what do you all remember about that rivalry, but what do you remember about that feud and that match, Mr. Black?
Oh, man, that promo, the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. You forget, like, that introduced to Brock Lesnar as baby form. He didn't become Brock Lesnar he is right now, that promo. And you felt a big fight feel. And going in there, you just like, ooh, okay. You felt that energy. The Rock, he brought it too. Not only, he knew that he was leaving the company, but yet he made sure he put in one hell of a match to get that shit over. And
yeah.
I can never forget that. Like, I can never forget that F. Fox and how Brock took up the title with sort of intensity with Paul Heyman right inside. Man, that,
Yeah,
the,
yeah. Go ahead, Don.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, it was for his. It's no. Let me get it out. Brock Lesnar, when he came on the scene, it's nobody came on the scene like how the way he came. He came, like he said, came, saw, conquered, defeat, demolished. That was Brock. I mean, one of the quickest rising star to win the world, you know, championship and demolish, you know, demolish his opponents like the way he did. I remember, like Mr. Black said, the build up, the whole promo package, how the way they was, you know, like it was a boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the age frame, the length, the weakness, the advantage, the school, you know, the background. And I was, as a young fan then, I was really, you know, we was like, yeah, Rock, he got it. Rock gonna lay the smack down. He gonna, you know, he gonna put him in his place. But boy, was I wrong. I mean, and once again, that kicked off the aggression era when Brock winning that title.
Southwest, are you still with us?
I'm here. I'm listening to you guys. Yeah, The Rock, man. The promo that The Rock did that year, knowing that he was going to leave, like he said, you know, he put on fire promos. Brock Lesnar kicked off the ruthless aggression era. That's when you knew that the Attitude Era was over. When Stone Cold left, not letting Brock Lesnar go over, and then The Rock going letting Brock Lesnar go over with the title. That's all I got to say, is that it was all good, and I was there watching it live. I wasn't there, but I was watching it live on pay-per-view, and it was one of the best matches that I've seen in kind of that kicked off that era, because The Rock was one of the most electrifying men in all sports entertainment at the time, going into Hollywood. And then you got Brock Lesnar, which was a beast coming in. You know, he came in, dominated the whole year, won the King of the Ring, almost won the Intercontinental title, but lost to disqualification, and then went on to win the Undisputed title, went on to beat The Undertaker, went on to have a great year going, you know what I'm saying, so on and so forth. But that match was great.
Nice. All right, next topic is this. This past Monday on Raw, Becky Lynch came out and she did commentary with The King and Byron Saxton, and the other guy, I forgot his name, and she decided to put on the king's crown, okay? But shortly after that, Alexa Bliss came out and said Becky Lynch stole another gimmick, and we know that Baron Corbin is the king right now. So do you guys think this is real heat, or is this another fake Twitter feud between Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch? I'll start with you, Southwest.
It's all put together. It's no heat, because if there was heat, you know what I'm saying, it would have been done shown a long time ago. But it's all a part of the show. I don't think there's no heat between them at all. Just period. I'm gonna cut it short so we can go to these next questions so we can run through them.
All right, Dom.
I don't know. I want to see it play out because I'm just tired of the Moss. I'm tired. That's all I got to say.
Mr. Black?
Well, of course you don't care. I'm over Becky Lynch. So.
Wow. No love for Becky, huh?
Not at all right now.
All right, I'm going to just go to, because we got 3 minutes to go, so I'm going to finish off with this question. Andrade, Rey Mysterio, Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza, they seem to have a pretty good chemistry right now. They've either been fighting each other or tag teaming up against each other. So do you guys think that they will become a stable, or they will kick off a luchador division, or they will have some kind of fatal four-way matchup at WrestleMania for the U.S. title?
For them to do a stable or a faction or whatever you want to call it, it would take more than four. So it could happen. Maybe. I don't think so. It would be great. It would be great if they could bring back the LWO type of deal. They could bring that back if WWE wants to do a marketing thing. You know what I'm saying? Get the, you know, Latinized more on the product like they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Everywhere a part of this world. Them kicking off a lucha division, you know, a luchador kind of thing. It's popular in Mexico and it's popular here in the U.S., but you got the cruiserweight division. If you're going to do that, you got to have more luchadors. Mm-hmm. You got to have, you know what I'm saying, you got to have a lot more talent than four people, you know what I'm saying, running a whole division. Maybe right. They can kick off maybe a ladder match for the United States title. And also, if you want to keep it on that lucha division, you know what I'm saying? If they want to do that also type of deal, they would have to kick out, you know what I'm saying? They would have to bring in a championship, that, you know, maybe a Mexico championship or like a Latin championship or some type of deal. But I don't think that's going to happen. So maybe the last thing is the ladder match for the Fatal 4-Way for the at WrestleMania to kick it off.
All right. Mr. Keep it simple. Hopefully they just market them right. That's all. That's from every last one of them, and understand what kind of market they have. And understand that once it's like having, just like Billy Gunn said, no, Road Dogg said to Edge, once you get the brothers behind you, you're good. Once you get the saddest dudes behind you, you're also extra good. That's it. Coin the market, because you haven't had a big star since Eddie been gone. But they got this.
All right, Dom, you got the final word on this.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do more. Like I said, I mean, it's a jump start. The Lucha, the Latino Lucha division has been, I guess, you know, they've been down. There's not been as much compelling or must-see. I mean, they can boost it, but I feel like you got to bring more, not just, I don't mean no harm, not just Mexicans, but more other Latin race to the company that's well known and champion, or you know, celebrated wherever they came from, and it can help. And don't stereotype the gimmick.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, well, this was definitely a good show tonight. for the next 2 minutes, I'm going to give you guys the chance to talk about anything that you got going on or any final thoughts or anything wrestling related. And I'll start with you, Southwest, if you want to talk about anything. You don't have to, but if you want
to. Yeah, well, tomorrow, guys, the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 will be at 6:30. I have actually two guests. I have Johnny Atkins, which is the owner and promoter of MPW, which is short for Michigan Pro Wrestling. He's going to have a show coming up March 14th. Jake Diener from Impact Wrestling is going to be there. I also have Cody Fleming from Wrestling Rage. He has a YouTube channel going on. He's going to talk about the things that he got going on. And then check out my YouTube channel, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313. I have matches from Horseman Pro Wrestling. And I have interviews with Lance in Hawaii. I have Madman Pounder, which is a Deathmatch Hall of Famer. And I have Malcolm Monroe III on there, which is a third-generation wrestler from Michigan. So if you guys want to check out that, like I said, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313. And then tomorrow, 6:30, Rated R Wrestling Podcast.
Dom, you got any final thoughts on anything, man?
No, man. Thank you for having me on the show, man. You know the drill, Martez. Just keep me on post of what we doing next for Russell Talking to D.
For sure. Oh, yeah. And Mr. Black, what about you? Anything, any final thoughts, anything you want to get into?
Well, just everybody, just check out my podcast, the Java Kids Podcast, on Instagram, YouTube. We're having a brunch of wrestling jackets and wrestling belts on March 22nd, Chaz Lounge, hosted by Chisel O'Donnell. July 4th, Java Slam, main event, Big Swole versus Tasha Steele, my brother versus Tyler Miller, World Culture. So just follow me, Mr. Black.
Sweet. I want to thank you all for joining the show. I know everybody got things that they are doing. You got busy schedules. So I want to thank you all for joining the show. Hopefully we can do this again. We're going to be doing this next week. I'm going to have to change the day for this next week, but because something came up. But I want to thank once again. I want to thank everybody for coming on. Talking with Tisha is coming on at 8 p.m. tonight. Feel free to listen to that right here on Open Talk 313. Have a good night and God bless everybody.
God bless.